Welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey, a weekly podcast featuring real and practical spiritual conversations from fresh perspectives here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today, episode 279, God Loves Me. And now your host, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Hello and welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey. My name is Cynthia Alice Anderson and I'm the host. I'm here today in 818 Studios with my producer.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dave Croft. Thank you so much for joining us for a brand new episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey. As always, hope you've had a wonderful weekend and we welcome you to a brand new week as we are around the corner on October. And I'm telling myself, you know, Florida man here, I will not turn on my heat. I'm sitting here in a jacket, right? As we're recording this, it's our first kind of like 60 degree morning, right?
Yeah.
And it even got into the 50s in some of the area. But I'm not going to turn on my heat. I'm like, nope, I'm just not going to do it because I know it's going to be in the 80s later today.
It'll be in the 80s later today. But exactly.
It is so good to be with you today.
Well, our good friend Sean Kilgore has already done a first fire. They did it outside at their property.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's funny. I need to get a new fire pit this year too. I use mine so much and I left it out. I don't know what I was thinking. There's one part of it anyway. So it'll be new fire pit for me this year and it probably a new location in my yard. So, I love to speak of my native heritage and the Cherokee people are people of the fire. That's what the Cherokee were known for, the
Very
people
cool.
of the fire.
Very
yes,
cool.
yes. So I've always loved fire. Not exactly a pyro or anything, but growing up, my grandmother had grown up. Her dad was full blood Cherokee, so she grew up cooking over fire. And as a youngster, I saw her cooking. Everything was cooked at really high heat because that was how she learned to cook, not really on a stove, but on an open fire. So believe it or not. So, I love to cook outside and cook over wood. And Dave, I know you love to grill. There's mm-hmm. something kind of grounding and very primal about it. You know, it was, I think it always harkens back to a time where we had to kill the things we ate, and I don't know, there's something real special about fire.
I've grilling, I think we've talked about it here on the show. I really got into it during the lockdown and the pandemic and everything, and
yeah,
now,
because what else was there to do?
Yeah, just to learn how to barbecue and grill and all of that, but I've really been enjoying it, and I've got all the tools and everything. You know, I don't have quite the grill pit that you have at your place.
Yeah, mine's kind of special.
It's just a Weber kettle, and a couple of weeks ago, was it last week? We did burgers last week, and the week before then, we did pulled chicken, like roast. We smoked whole chickens on the grill. And then you pull up, and then you use it for nachos. You can make barbecue chicken nachos.
Oh, yes. And you could use the carcass to make soup after.
And we did. Yep. Shannon did that. We made stock. And then
there's nothing better than that, man. Homemade stock from something roasted.
Yep.
Wow.
Smoked barbecue chicken chowder.
Our listeners, maybe we're the vegans are cringing now.
But
the meat
lovers,
the meat lovers are ready to go eat right now. Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. Well, you know, I've always been a lover of food. I don't know. There's a comedian, his name's Sebastian. I can't remember his last name, but he's Italian. Mm-hmm. And he always talks about growing up Italian, every 2 feet you'd bump into food. And that's kind of how our house was. There are always so many people, and there were so many people in the kitchen and so many generations. People were just kind of cranking out food all day long. There would be somebody would make a cake, and then somebody would make cookies, and then somebody would make lasagna, and then somebody would make, homemade bread. And I mean, it was just. And then, you know, a guy who would do trades with my dad would bring in a big thing of venison. It was just how it was. So for us, I think our love language in my family was food.
No, that's
so,
definitely in our family.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
for sure.
It's funny.
We have
it's
the waistlines to prove it.
exactly. Well, today is a great day, friends. I'm so happy to be with you. And boy, I'm in a brand new place spiritually. And I can't tell you, I feel so happy. I feel at peace. I feel just this sense of wholeness. And I hope you're hearing it, you're feeling it yourself. And I just want to share, you know, a recent story, but I also want to do, before we do that, I want to do a shout out to all of our listeners. You know, as always, we're blessed for those of you listening around the world and those right here in Orlando, where we're recording, or Greater Orlando. I'm in my home in Orlando and Dave's just a few miles away, but Greater Orlando, Orlando suburbs. And, you know, we honor you and we thank you that for listening. Yes. And that you allow us to support your journey. You know, it's something I don't take lightly, and why I, you know, prepare so much. Somebody was recently asking me how much time the podcast took. And I said, I don't know how to answer that, because it only takes about an hour to record, but it takes 39 hours to prepare. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's like everything I do, my speaking, my preparation, my prayer work, it all kind of distills into what the show is. And without all that other work, the show would not be what it is. So you could look on the outside and say, oh, well, you just record, you know, an hour a week or whatever. But it's like the time, and this is not a complaint, but the time at all, the time that goes into it is like gets collapsed into 1 hour.
Yeah,
it's like a week's worth of learning that I'm trying to distill so that I and you all can begin to practice it. So it's a real discipline of doing that on a daily basis.
Yeah,
so
I'd say it's more than 39 hours.
It is.
I think it's you know, 30 years in the ministry. You
oh,
know,
yes.
If I were to put a piece of music together, you know, and I say it costs, you know, this much to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
I might be able to put a cue together in 3 hours. Right.
Yes.
From top to bottom. But yes. I've also been a musician since sixth grade, and that informs the decisions I'm making today.
Absolutely.
It's the Malcolm Gladwell 10,000 hours kind of goes into it. So when you hire somebody to come, you know, decorate your house, and you're not necessarily paying for their time as much as you're paying
for their expertise.
So,
yes.
Yeah. But I do want to give a shout out to folks listening to us from Wilmington, North Carolina. This is Shannon was born in Wilmington, and of course,
Wilmington.
You know, her family and my family is from North Carolina. So I love North Carolina.
Well,
I also
my ancestors absolutely are from there, and I can trace back to the late 1600s for my family, and even before that in that area. But for sure, that I can point to exactly. They were in that area. So Wilmington, thank you for listening. Yes, blessings to you on the journey. And we're honoring you and the people you may be around and serving. And let us know if there's a way we can serve you better. If there's, for instance, if there are issues you think you're dealing with in your particular area that the show is not yet addressing, let us know, because we're in a learning process as well. We're always learning how we can better serve your journey. And we're open to that. We're open to feedback that's given in love with the idea of better serving. So thank you, Wilmington, for listening. And shout out to you and your family, most definitely.
Yep, for sure. Thank you.
So I really wanted to kind of shift the energy and shift gears a little bit. You know, I always love when we do our shout out, and it makes me feel so connected, really, to people around the country. And I feel as if we're really doing good. And what I want to say today is so important to me and my journey that I really wanted to share it. I've only really shared it one other place. And it's probably going to be a message I give the rest of my life because of how important it is. And quite frankly, to our listeners, I wanted you to know this is about the third start in telling it, because, well, it is the authentic spiritual journey. And so recently, I had a situation where I was highly triggered. And we know that term triggered means I'm behaving in a way that's not age appropriate. I'm thinking in a way that's not age appropriate. In other words, the feelings I'm having are larger than they should be given the situation, you know. So often when we're triggered, it means we are taken back to a moment in childhood. As a matter of fact, psychologically, it's called a complex because there is a complex reaction. It's not a clean emotional reaction. That was how Carl Jung defined a complex, interestingly. You know, like he would play this, not really a game, but it was an association kind of thing. He would say school and the patient would say teacher. He would say mom and the patient might say dad. But if he said door and the patient couldn't say house or if he couldn't say whatever, they paused. He knew that there was trauma at that event, and it was called a complex emotional reaction. So what happens to us when, you know, we throw that word around, triggered, it means that there's trauma associated with a similar experience, and we're kind of overlaying the past trauma onto what's happening now. And it's called a trigger because it triggers that old memory. The thing I don't like about it in our culture right now is we throw that word around as if everybody's supposed to step around our trigger. Oh, I'm triggered, you know. Well, bottom line is if you know you're triggered, do something about it, you know. Well, sometimes that's easier said than done because the triggers are so deep, you know, that they take a lot of years of work. And that's the one I'm talking about for me today. This is no small thing, I'm telling you. And, you know, if we were sitting in my living room, I'd say, you need to sit down for this. As a matter of fact, get something to drink, maybe a coffee, whatever nurtures you, because you gotta hear this, you know, front to back here. This is a big for me. And I'm not going to minimize this in any way because of how profoundly I feel changed from it. And like I might normally say, oh, well, it may not be the same for you. No, this is so big. If anybody gets this, it will be a total game changer for your life. And so I was in a situation recently where I felt isolated, alone, rejected, abandoned, I'm going to use that word, abandoned, just any of those words you can imagine that are so charged with this feeling of being left, this feeling of being alone and not able to reach anybody. And even on the shows, maybe about a year ago, I was talking about a situation with a friend that was hard because I loved him so much, but I was not hearing back. I don't know, Dave, if you remember that, but I processed through it and everything, and I was okay, but I could never feel like 100% good about it. And I couldn't figure out why. I knew the friend loved me, like, in my mind, but the feeling reality of that. Well, anyway, recently I had this situation where I was really in those feelings big, and of isolation, abandonment, rejection, alone, forgotten about. I'll even use the term thrown away. I mean, like any statement that you can think, this is how I felt. And it was so primal. I just wanted it to stop. I would have done nearly anything to get the pain to stop. It was so intense what I was feeling. I couldn't reach my sister. Nobody that I thought I needed, I'm going to use that word needed, you know, I guess just trying to reach out and nothing would happen. And the feeling was so strong, it like my body literally hurt. And I realized in that moment that I had experienced this feeling my whole life, and I was instantly transported to being a baby in a crib screaming for my mother and nobody coming. Which I have found out that, in fact, that was a dynamic. My sister told me that she would have to come get me and take me to my mother to get picked up as a baby. And but before that, I've also learned, you know, that my birth story was that I was premature. And so right after being born, I was stuck in an incubator for 3 days. And in those days, I say those days, it's 50, over 50 years ago, we didn't have the scientific research to know that babies needed to be held. So I was not held 3 days after being born for 3 days. Now, I later learned, interestingly, that my mom was right there, but because I didn't feel it, you know, she felt awful not being able to touch me, but I didn't know that, right? So all I knew, the feeling experience after my birth, was being completely abandoned. And then with all the kids and everything else, this feeling in the crib of screaming and nobody being there, you know, it just carried through my life. Of it doesn't matter how much I ask, no one is going to be there. You know, like I say, my sister had been and was really, she's 14 years older than me and was really more of a parent probably than either parent, which is very common, by the way, in large families. It's, I'm not, you know, that's very common. So anyway, when I was in that moment of feeling so isolated and everything, and I got that picture, I said, well, and by the way, I want to mention that all this time stuff is going on. I'm working all the times I'm having these feelings. My son has this huge concert. I've got all the stuff going on. And all I could do, I had to absolutely be present to everybody in that. And I was like, how am I going to, like, I felt like I could barely walk. I can't tell you the intensity of these feelings. And so what I did is I just sat. I sat in silence. I sat at my son's concert. I just held the pain and later dealt with it. When I could finally deal with it, I said to God, finally, what is this? And why can I not, like, what is this? Why is no one here for me? It was like my whole life is for other people. Why is no one here? And I waited and waited, and I finally got the answer. It was... It was as if God said, and this is, I literally heard in my soul, because God said, I'm the only one that can fill that hole. No other person can. And I had this huge shift in awareness. And all of a sudden, I had this feeling in my belly of like this golden light of God kind of filling my belly. And for those of you who study the chakras, you know that that third chakra, the belly, this is the place of personal power. And as I sat there, it just filled up, filled up, filled up, filled up. And it was like my cells were lit up. Like I could feel this God connection in a way I've never, ever felt it before, which is saying something. I mean, the spiritual experiences I've had in my life have been so profound. And then the affirmation that came through, it was like it was pulsating in my cells, was simple. God loves me. Over and over and over, it was like I was breathing that in and out of my pores. God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. And it just resonated in such a way that I thought to myself, I'm never going to feel alone again. And it was like, I could not try to feel that disconnect. It was like, it got mended up in that, you know, in that moment. And, you know, it's been many days and it has not left me. It's a categorical shift that I've probably worked on for 50 years because I have done rebirthing. It's a, you know, a tool that you can use to help heal your birth experience. I have done, you know, therapy for 30 years. I have, you know, done release work. And you know, the interesting thing is, I'm quite sure I could have never gotten to this level of awareness to be able to stop and be with the pain. It was so big. I thought I was going to die. I mean, I wanted to share this because I think sometimes people think that, oh, you know, I just talk about spiritual things and my life is great and bopping along. And there are a lot of great things for sure. And in many ways, I'm super happy. That said, this was something I absolutely needed to heal and has dogged me my entire life. You know, and it's even changed the way I speak. It's been fascinating to go speak. And I was just at another ministry recently. And something has been healed on a fundamental level. And without a shadow of a doubt, no matter what happens, no matter who comes and goes, no matter what is next, I know, absolutely know on a cellular level, God loves me. And that is a game changer. That's a game changer. Like, I no longer have to prove anything. I can just relax. I can be at peace. I can really experience wholeness in a way I never have before. Yeah, this feeling of wholeness, it's like, I feel like after that moment of just being filled up with that presence and me feeling it in my entire body, it's like the angels were like stitching together something like really old that had been torn. You know, it's like this, for me, it was like a miraculous healing. Like your arm was broken one day and the next day it's fine. You know, all this said, I absolutely know if it's possible for me, it's possible for you. You know, this is why I do the work and this is why I share it, because it'd be a lot easier if I just did this stuff on my own, never told anybody about it, because it's vulnerable. It's, you know, it's, you know, it takes a lot of trust to share. But when you know God loves you, it doesn't really matter what anybody thinks or doesn't think about it. I mean, that's what's so freeing. It was like, you know, it's like every day. So interestingly, so since that happened, like I say, it's been a bit now, but since it happened, I feel like every day I'm like living out the statement or living into the statement, God loves me. It's like, what other thing is unplugging? I feel like, I don't know, you know how behind your computer, there's this like big ball of wires. A lot of times people have that. Yeah. And what I feel like every day is that another wire just goes away. It's like like if you make spaghetti and there's a whole big thing of noodles all, you know, jumbled up together. It's like every day I lose another noodle and I feel freed up and less encumbered in some area of my life. And I think if it happened all at once, I'd probably implode, blow a gasket, you know? but it feels as if I'm walking into some new energy and awareness. I don't know what's next. I'm not worried. I the confidence I have in this connection is unbelievable. It wasn't until this morning, right before coming on, that I remembered years ago. I mean, this is what's so interesting, how spirit works. I heard Maya Angelou say the one thing that changed her whole journey was knowing God loves me. Because when I heard her say it, I was like, well, of course God loves you. But there's one thing to think it, and there's a completely different thing to know it. And she knew it. And now I know it. I feel it. Like my feeling in my body is different. I feel like I lost 5 pounds as well. I mean, just, it was like, wow. So it's one thing to know it in my mind. I would say to anybody, God loves you. I remember when I was 15 years old in Brazil, I was doing mission work and I was passing out these things that said Deus te amo, which in Portuguese means God loves you. I mean, it's a message I've said my entire life, but I just now know it. It's just incredible. It's incredible. So I just, like, my heartfelt hope is that you will be able to sit with the pain. And if you can't, that you reach out for help. I mean, this is what I do with people. I'm here to help them. This is what spiritual counseling and coaching is just providing a sacred container for you to do this depth of work. And, you know, sometimes we do need help along the way. And, you know, from a realistic standpoint, or from a third dimensional standpoint, what's interesting about the whole process is I could have made up stories about how all these people were wrong, how they should have been there for me. And if I would have called friends, they would have said, you're right. Your sister should have been there. Your friends should have been there, blah, 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 blah. On a third dimensional level, that would have been true. But on the spiritual level, it was a divine setup for my healing. And so that's what's so interesting about all of it is that when you say you want to be awakened, when you say you want to heal, and when I say I want to heal and I want to be awakened, I want to be like the Christ and I want to live a spiritual life, these things that happen are not against us, even though in the moment it certainly felt against me. And again, it has for 50 years. I have given of myself to others my entire life. I gave to my family, you know, when my dad was in addiction and my nephew had cancer and my grandmother had Alzheimer's, that was the only option was to give. Although my other siblings did not, you know, so I gave for what? For approval, for love, for whatever. You know, we do what we need to do to survive, right? So third dimensionally, I could have said, oh, these people are wrong, and gathered some people up and said, hey, can you believe what such and such did? And they would have said, yeah, that's dumb. As much as you helped them, blah, blah, blah. And we would have said, yeah, and then we would have been right. And then the next day I would have felt exactly the same, and that would have not helped at all. But that's what we do, right? Instead of sitting with it and seeing what is trying to heal. If something feels that bad, something is trying to come into wholeness. And it takes a great deal of fortitude and spiritual strength to do it. And psychological strength. And sometimes you need help along the way. I worked with my mentor a couple times over the last several months. And interestingly, as incredible as she is, I had to do this one on my own this time. She helped me with those steps. And then the last step was all mine. It was like she helped me along the way. She gave me a couple of clues, but nobody has gotten to this in me. I had to do it. I had to do it. That said, remember, I had done release work. I had done forgiveness work. I have done my psychological work, you know, and I think that's why this healing could come forward for me, because I had worked all around the edges of the other pieces, and this was just like this final piece. Now, that said, do I feel like I'll never have a feeling of loss again? Well, I think loss is normal, but I won't feel what I felt. Right. I don't think I will ever feel what I felt ever again. Because it was something was fundamentally broken and now is not broken. You know, there's that, it's in Japanese pottery. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. It's where, if the pottery gets broken, rather than fixing it with ceramic or porcelain, it's filled in with gold.
Yeah, it's called kintsugi.
Yeah, kintsugi. Yes, yep. And that's what I feel like happened. I got filled up with the gold, but it was God. You know, it was like that broken piece is just it's no longer broken. As a matter of fact, it's stronger than before. It's stronger than it's ever been in this lifetime, no doubt. Nobody, though, could have given me that. That's only God. Mm. Only God. So when you hear me talk about, you know, and I have talked about for years, if you're a regular listener to the show, you've heard me say, meditate. Take time every day to tap into God. This is what I've been doing for years. This is what helped prepare me for this healing. So we can't always see the spiritual consciousness we're building, but I hope you will trust that this is what's helping to bring you into your next phase of healing. You know, we can't always see it. We don't always know. And this came in the midst of great pain, busyness, me being of service to really thousands of people. And still having to be present as a mom. I couldn't just go off in the woods for 3 days. I had to be a mom. I had to be a minister. I had to be a friend. I had to be a sister in the midst of all this, right? So I was able finally to sit, but even that was broken up between attending to the things I had to attend to in life. This is life. Yeah, this is life. So I hope, friends, that you will just trust the process you're in and that you will make time to nurture that God connection, because everything that we want and need comes from God. Everything, everything. And it's this that I've experienced has been my greatest healing. And really, my heartfelt hope for you is that you'll know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you and that you can live into this truth on this journey we call life, right? So I thank you for listening. I'm honored that you joined us. I'm honored. And Dave and I always love to connect as well in the studio. We have a longstanding connection, and we're honored to bring you this together. And Dave's, you know, so much a part of the leadership with his great production work and his integrity. So we lift Dave up today too. And thank you for your support. As you support, that pays our studio fees and makes sure the show stays on the air. And we are in a special campaign. So we love you. We bless you no matter what you give or when. And we're honored to serve your journey. And for those of you who do give and can't give, thank you so much, because it enables us to bless those that are definitely in need of a blessing. So thank you for joining us today, dear friend, and blessings on the journey.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. This channel is made possible because of listeners just like you. If you would like to support the channel with your tax-deductible contribution on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Authentic Spiritual Journey is copyright 2023 Cynthia Alice Anderson, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission from RR Hot Publishing. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.
Thank you for listening to the show today, dear friends. I'm always happy to have you along the journey. If you're seeking deeper work, though, I'm going to invite you into one-on-one coaching with me.
In my coaching work, I get to glean from my over 30 years of experience of working with individuals and leaders in the community on their spiritual journey. So I have a wealth of information that will help you along the journey, and it will be supportive. It will be supportive of your dreams, goals, and desires, but it will also be confrontive, because I am going to help you confront those limiting patterns and beliefs and help you break through those aspects and move into looking at life in a more holistic way. So even though it will be confrontive and at times even challenging, you will learn to grow, you will learn to prosper, and you will evolve into the person you have always wanted to be. Friends, the answers lie within you, and I am so honored to help empower you to live that truth and that goodness in the world. If you want to learn more about coaching with me, simply go to CynthiaAliceAnderson.com and go to the coaching section for more information. That's CynthiaAliceAnderson.com and go to coaching. And I'll be happy to set up a one-on-one call so we can discuss how I can best support your journey. Thanks again for joining me today, dear friend, and blessings on the journey.